Let's rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made, and let's start it off in prayer. Father, we thank you for all your goodness and everything you provide for us and the way you take care of us. Lord, we're here to worship, to praise you, and to just minister to each other as you minister to us. Holy Spirit, we invite you in our presence. You are so welcome here. In Jesus' name.
And if you could remain standing for the reading of the scripture.
Our opening scriptures today are going to be from the King James Version and from the New American Standard Bible, and it's Isaiah 43:11 and Isaiah 45:22. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other.
A fortress in a time of war.
may be seated, but we're going to continue our worship with receiving the tithes and offerings. Chris, if you could come up.
Father God, we praise you, and we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day that you have made for us. We thank you that all good things come from you. And we just continue our worship in giving back to you your tithe and our offerings. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Turn to me and be saved, all you nations. Turn to me and be saved, all you peoples. Turn to me and be saved, turn to me and be saved, all you nations. For I am God, and there is no other. For I am God, and there is no other. Turn to him and be saved, all you people. Turn to him and be saved, all you people. For he is God, and there is no other. For he is God, and there is no other. For you are God, and there is no other. For you are God, and there is no other. Turn to me and be saved, all you nations. Turn to me and be saved, all you nations. For I am God, and there is no other. For I am God, and there is no other. Turn to him and be saved, all you people. Turn to him and be saved, all you people. For he is God, and there is no other. Turn to the Lord and be saved, all the ends of the earth.
Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you for your salvation, Lord, through Jesus, our precious Lord and our Savior, your Son. We thank you then that we are given your Spirit and your fullness through our salvation through Jesus. And Lord, we present these, your tithes and your offerings, Lord, unto you, Lord. For you know that Pathway of Hope wants to be a light in this community and way beyond. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings go to the Foursquare denomination, which emphasizes getting the word out to all the lost, all that need to be saved. and getting those to be disciples that know you, to grow in you, and to be strong for you, that light that you want them to be, that salt in the earth that you want them to be for you and for your glory. Lord, I thank you for this, Lord. Lord, you are a mighty God, and we love you, and we thank you and praise you for all that we have is yours. This is yours, Lord, and we present it to you. We thank you. May your blessings be upon every part of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Thank you. So, boy, lots, huh? Lots going on, huh? So, I almost didn't come back because I heard this awesome service online that was last Sunday. Wasn't it great? It was just so neat. I mean, I'm so excited. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited to see Pastor 2B, Evelyn, growing and just, she did an incredible sermon, and I was just majorly impressed of also the time. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So it was like, and I was just like so excited to see her, because you know her heart's desire is to reach the Filipino people. She is Filipino, and then hopefully maybe even one day be a missionary in the Philippines. So it's so exciting to see her growing and using what God has given her, and it develops as you guys have been patient with me being appointed senior pastor and growing. So I appreciate that. But I was so excited. For now, me being in the spot of the senior pastor, I knew what the other pastors went through as senior pastors when they left and got away for a vacation or whatever, and then they were at peace knowing things were well taken care of. And then seeing the Lord, you know, Chris, you saying that God's been wanting to stir up more of your prophetic gift, and he released it again last Sunday, so that was really awesome. Seeing it confirmed with Pastor Janet in the last song, you see the Holy Spirit working. And then today, you'll see, like, once again, because I don't tell Pastor Janet what I'm going to share. I often, only once did I request so far in the little over a year have I requested a song. But normally we see the Holy Spirit working. And even last night she did the service. Because remember when we had Reverend Matthew McFerrin from the Miracle Center, from the Men's Miracle Center, he came and spoke on Father's Day. And I saw him the other night. And Pastor Jana at the Ignite Church at Eagles Wings of Grace, he's, you know, doing the services there. And she led the worship. She said, once again, tied in with his message. She just listens to the Holy Spirit. She prays and goes with how the Holy Spirit leads, and it was just really neat to hear that. And then I was going through my notes, because I had worked a lot on the slides. As you'll see, I'm using a slide presentation for today that somebody else created, but I had to kind of do a lot of adjustments and recreate, so it took actually quite a bit of time to do it. But I did it in September, knowing I had such a busy October, and I was out of town a lot. And so then when I was going over it again, and I was looking through my notes of some that I had already prepared, I was going, I have a scripture from Jonah. In last week's sermon, what was the message on? Thanks, Jonah. And I was just like, God, once again, I see you just totally working out. He is just so cool. He is just so amazing. And I just get floored at his love and how he works. And for those that listen to the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit and seeing God at work. And I was just like, God, I just see you just building and moving and each of us. And I'm just like, I'm so excited. I mean, God is never finished with us until that last breath. And how we are the body of Christ and working together. It is like, it is so amazing. So let's pray before I get started. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you for your love for each one of us. So right now, Lord God, as I surrender this whole service to you, but this message part, I am just your vessel, your instrument, and I know you've spoken volumes to me. And I pray that you will continue to speak to me and each one of us. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit says. And help us to have eyes to see, Lord God. You can speak to us, and you can speak to us in even something that I don't even say. And Lord, you know I want to speak your truth, but if I happen to accidentally say something incorrectly, or then correct it in their ears and stuff. But Lord, I just thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your love for each and every one of us.
And I thank you for this time. I thank you that you are passionately pursuing each and every person here that you have created, because all creation comes from you. And I thank you that your son died on the cross for salvation for each and every one. What a precious gift. What an amazing gift of grace. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? I forgot my eyeglasses. I need my eyeglasses today. So, Debbie, my person, and I'm sorry, I apologize for a second. I thought I had my act together, and I don't. But this time, I don't have it all printed up in really big print, so I definitely need these. So. Oh, thank you, God, for eyeglasses. I appreciate it very much, and I didn't clean them, so hopefully they're clean. But I received a letter last month from Foursquare, and they were wanting, the Southwest District was letting us know that they were observing some of the special event prayer days. And we all know that one was Crowd America, but we always, you know, are praying for our country. You know, that's my heart for prayer. And then by the time that I got this, it was after, so okay, oops. Okay, and then, I mean, not that they sent it out by the time that I read it. And then, so then that was on for the September 11th focus. And then there was the National Day of Prayer for the Peace for Jerusalem. And so we saw how God handled that one. And God changed it up. The Holy Spirit just changed it up. We did pray for Jerusalem, but how he brought it in together and intertwined it. Well, today is on the global day of prayer for the unreached peoples of the world. And that is today. And so Foursquare is partnering with the Billion Soul Network for the October 27th launch of the Global Day to Pray for the Unreached Peoples of the World. With more than 6,000 unreached people groups worldwide, the event will focus on three. The Ansari of India, who have few known Christians living among them, and more than 10 million people in this group. Their ancestors were emissaries and soldiers of Muhammad. Today, India contains the world's third largest Muslim population. The Hui of China, I don't know how to pronounce that correctly, whose nearly 12.5 million people represent the largest Muslim people group in China. There are fewer than 10 known churches among these people. Q-A-S-H-Q-A-I, Qashqai or something like that, of Iran, where only a few dozen Christians, that's like 36, right? A few dozen Christians live among the population of 1.75 million. A semi-nomadic people living primarily in southern Iran. They travel with flocks. Many profess but do not practice the Muslim faith. Churches that want to participate, and we are one, and they had a bunch of resources, which I will go through. Noting that the church worldwide has a common enemy, a common savior, and a common assignment, Foursquare President Glenn Burris Jr. says the body of Christ can complete the Great Commission if we choose to do it together. And you know that's my heart. No denomination, the body of Christ working together. As we participate in united prayer, our hearts will be knit together in his love. Glenn affirms, we will begin to see God to do great and mighty things in our families and communities, as well as in our nation and around the world. Now, I wrote that, and he talked to me. And so and then I said, yes, you could, you know, put that in, that it was your writing. No, but you guys hear me say this all the time. I mean, it's like our hearts are so intertwined. And it's like, you know, that was Sister Amy Semple McPherson's heart. It was not a denomination. It was, you know, as the cornerstone on Angelus Temple, dedicated to interdenominational and worldwide evangelism, to help reach the lost and then help the lost to be saved, to know about Jesus, and then to believe and receive him, helping them, and then to then grow in him and to be that mighty, strong, godly Christian that God has called them to be. And yet that spotless bride, because they are waiting, because he's soon coming, because their hearts are yearning for him and they are seeking him first. So
I'm using this presentation, and like I said, I thought it'd be easy, and it wasn't. Maybe for somebody else who knows PowerPoint a lot better than I, it would have been easy, but it was a challenge to fit it to my thing and for the whole slideshow and all the presentation and all to be on one and then to fit it. And so here it is. We're going to go through some of their slide presentation, and I just, it's really interesting, the facts. So this is a little bit different, not the way that I normally preach. I really liked it, and I really want us to go through. So it's going to be a little bit more factual in a sense. So I hope you will bear with some of these facts. This presentation that I found is from the Joshua Project. So, and it's called The Unreached Task, Status of World Evangelism. Remember, this is the Global Day of Prayer for the Unreached Peoples of the World. So we see on this next slide, 83, that the big picture. Sometimes we are so close to something we don't see. The forest for the trees. So what is this? And then what does it show? Did you see it? And then what about this one? Okay, now show it. And then what about this one? This one's good. Oh, you are good, Eric. Yeah, it's eyeglasses. You are good. And so what is this? That answer is going to be at the end. So you have to wait. The next slide, it'll show like the table of contents. In other words, like what I'm going to go over, some of the facts. So one of the first ones is the big picture, Jesus' last words. And then we're going to cover the status of the Great Commission. And then we're going to cover the gospel to the ends of the earth. Another point we're going to cover is dramatic recent progress. And the last point we're going to cover on this slide presentation is challenges of the unfinished task. So Jesus' last words were the command, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, as Matthew 28, verse 19 says. In other words, a church for every people group. And nations comes from the Greek word ethne, and it is this word means tribe or ethnic group or people. So this is where we get the English word ethnic. The results, God's glory and kingdom filling the earth. Worship from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue, as Revelation 7, 9 and Habakkuk 2, 14 says. The ethnic vision from the Joshua Project, it's peoples joining together to glorify God among all peoples. The purpose is to, I like this one, energize continuing initiatives among the 27% of the world, which has almost no access to the gospel. The next slide is talking on the point of Jesus' last words again, where it says, why is making disciples of all the nations so important? And then it points out, Jesus directly links his return to the fulfillment of the Great Commission, as Matthew 24, 14 says. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Another point, there will be worshipers from every people group before his throne. And purchase for God with your blood, man from every tribe and tongue, and people and nation, as Revelation 5, 9. And this is why we go and remember and partake of the elements, remembering what Jesus did for each and every one of us, and remembering what we have because of what he did, and that resurrection power, and the power of the body, and the power of his name. We are to move in that, and to help be that light in everywhere. We all have different people that we reach. Do we not?
right? We have all a different sphere of influence. We have different neighbors, and we see different people at the grocery store, at the gas station, at the post office, at the bank, and we run into people that are driving and going here or there on vacation. We have different family members, and then we have maybe jobs or school, or you have all different ways of being able to reach. So I know we're focusing on those hard-to-reach areas, but there are many people here. This is the seventh most unchurched city in the United States. When you go to Fort Tucson, can you believe it? When you go to Fort Tucson, and the studies have shown, and you go to a Fort Tucson event, that's what it shows. And it's like crazy to see the statistics. Another status, the second status, is about the Great Commission, a church for every people. So what is the status? Well, the status of the Great Commission is how many people groups are there? Total peoples by country, people group connected, counted for each country it is in. This is the list of the most referred to as the peoples of the world. So there's 16,800 different people groups in the world. That's almost 17,000 different people groups in the world. The next slide shows that of the status of the Great Commission, how many people groups are considered unreached and least reached? Using a criteria of less than 2% evangelical and less than 5% adherent, well, the best current estimate of unreached, least reached ethnic groups, 7,300. We still got a ways to go. The status of the Great Commission, and this will show you the countries that are the most unreached people. So we have India, there's 2,365 unreached peoples. China, 455. Pakistan, 453. Bangladesh, 345. And Nepal, 332. The least reached ethnic groups. The next slide shows the status of the Great Commission. The Joshua Project is a progress scale. So the red shows unreached, least reached, less than 2% evangelicals and less than 5% Christian adherents. And then the yellow shows the formative nominal church, less than 2% evangelicals and greater than 5% Christian adherents. And then the green shows significant established churches, greater than 2% evangelicals. So here it is, the next one shows a graph showing it kind of in a progressive level of the different groups. But the next slide shows a map of the world. And the gray area on the very top, that gray area is data not available or uninhabited. So, inhabited. And then the red areas, do you see that? Well, that's about 3,600 of these unreached, least reached groups. They're small. And these are under 10,000 in population. So the task isn't as large as it first appears. Remember the green, that's the established and significant. The yellow, that's the formative normal. But look at that red. The next slide shows that we need to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. So what strategy can the church use to make disciples of all the nations? Well, Mark 16:15 says, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Since we do not know who is part of God's family, the church ought to strive to give every person the opportunity to respond to the gospel. Is this a realistic goal, to present the gospel to every person on the earth? Do you remember when I showed you that slide of the Azusa Street house, Bonnie Bray house, where William Seymour, and I had the blessing of being able to go there last December? And when I had heard about the Azusa Street, I was like so excited. But I have that on my wall, knowing that we're starting here. Well, okay, we didn't start here. 8 years ago, we didn't start here. But now we're here, and me as a senior pastor started here. And now, I remember I showed you then the warehouse I said, remember how I said God's the one that called me? Because remember, I used to believe that women shouldn't be pastors. So he has a funny sense of humor. And then I remember when I first learned about, well, what you learn in the Bible, you're accountable for. Oh, then I was like, well, I'm safe. That's good. You know, then I realized, oh, yes, that grace helps you to then do and continue to be obedient to the Lord. And when you step into that grace, that's where the empowerment comes in. And then you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit again, and then that empowerment comes in. So you heard about what happened when I received and that call, and then when I was obedient to that call. And then we know what God can do and how he can move in all our lives as we are obedient. And everybody, God has a plan and a purpose for each one. We are all ambassadors and witnesses for him when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And this is what we're going to do. We are going to move for God. And it is, as your word said, he is nurturing us. Chris was given that prophetic word. He is nurturing us and getting us ready to explode. Which then, as we were visiting with some friends in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is the town of the Moravians, and these friends we saw at the Paul Keith Davis and Pastor Stephen Shelley and Chuck Pierce at that prophetic gathering, we met them. And remember, she had said, I saw you at so-and-so. We weren't there. But she says, no, I saw you and Paul clearly, and we weren't there. She goes, looks at her husband, this has never happened to me before. This is weird. And then she started seeing other things. We've kept in touch since then, and we were able to go to the Moravian because God knew my heart about hearing more about and being in that area. Were the Moravians perfect? No. They tended to be a little bit prideful. and she said some were, not all, but some were. But what I loved was that the power of prayer, their dedication to prayer, and that some would sell themselves into slavery so they could reach the slaves. They were the first ones of like really trying to reach the outer parts of the unreached part of the world that I know of. I mean, there probably were others, but this is one that I knew of even before Azusa Street Revival. But this is what we're moving in. And I was so excited to be in that area, to be in the Amish area, too, of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Seeing their hearts of that purity, of that, you, Lord, I am for you and living for you. And that is where we need to be, sold out for him and being obedient to him and not always in agreement with other Christians, but obedient to him. Because it is in unity, as the motto is. Unity is that essential. The liberty of one cup Lord's Supper, a multi-cup, as I went to a church when we were visiting our aunt and uncle, and it's a one-cup church. But I know also that they do it a little bit differently, but I know God knows my heart. So I took the Lord's Supper in the way that my heart is receiving it. In remembrance of him, oh, he did for me. That was a non-essential liberty, but in all things charity, God's love, and in through us, we are the body of Christ, and we're all growing at different levels. We need to listen to the word, obey the word through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. He is our guide, and then go and do what he tells us to do, not do what he tells us not to do, say what he tells us to say, not say what he tells us not to say, and if we blow it, repent. And receive with that blood that's covered you, and then go forward again. Don't give up. Pursue. The next slide shows Coca-Cola. Think of us, of a vision of Coca-Cola. A can of Coke in the hand of every person on the planet. Coca-Cola has a vision to do that. And so they've come up with creative ways to get that Coke into the hands of every person. So donkey, they've done. Another way they've done is a bike. Another way they've done is this canoe-ish type boat with a little motor. They are getting that can of Coke to the ends of the earth. This is their goal. So, on this next slide, it shows a pie chart. The world as Coke drinkers, let's think of it. Here we go. 10% is the green. Coke fans, true followers of Christ. Well, that pie part of that is not really very big, is it? Then we have the blue, 20%. Cola drinkers, nominal adherents of Christianity. 40%, non-cola drinkers, heard but not responded. And then 30%, cola unknown. Virtually no exposure to the gospel. So what are some ways being used to reach every person? Do you remember when Jonathan, who had to go to work, do you remember when he sang, when I was singing Amazing Grace, you know, when we did that, you know, and he goes, I wish I could sing it that way, but he sang, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Have a Savior today. He died for you. His blood is covering you. Just receive it today. I made that up, but isn't that, you know, just, I mean, here we can do that. We can reach the lost. And do we have that kind of dedication? Because we've got an ultimate planner and strategizer who's passionately pursuing each and every one. And when you see the Azusa Street revival, people were moved. And I remember one lady that I remember reading the accounts of the children and playing in the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And remember the fire. I know the fire's going to come down like that. Remember how the fire came in the fire department? We got the fire department really close. We're going to do our prayer night there. We're going to be praying that place up. And they're going to come, and they're going to see the fire coming, and then they're just going to see it. It's not burning. Just as it did there. And people, everybody. Remember I told you, it's like, yes, William Seymour was the senior pastor of this, and people have been praying for them, but then everybody was given a leadership role. Everybody was given their gifts and talents, and God was flooding everybody with gifts and talents. And then it was constantly going 24 hours. And then every once in a while, he did a unique thing of putting a box crate or a box over him, and then the Lord would tell him to speak. And then he would speak, and sometimes he would have a certain thing on what he would speak on or how he'd be healed. But each one of you will have gifts and talents. You have gifts and talents that God has given you. And then some will be released in a special way. When I pray for certain mantles of certain people that I know, I go, but the good, Lord, and not any of the bad, because nobody's perfect. So I want the good of that mantle. But I'm already imperfect enough. But it's like, Lord, I know that God's going to release each one. Each one of us is going to see it more and more, and people are going to be healed. And you heard how that one Jennifer confirmed what had been told to me years ago, that God has given me the gift of healings, and he saw it in my hands, as other people have said that. It isn't released yet. I wish it was. I wish I could touch each one. I know we all have, you know, different things to be healed, but it's like, I know it's going to happen, and I am praising God and thanking him, because I wasn't before. I was going, God, you know, I want it. And it's like, no, he said it, no more. You start praising me and thanking me for it. And in his timing, his way, it'll be released. And we need to start thanking and praising God for the gifts and talents each and every one of us have, whether we know it or not, and praising him and thanking that it'll be released in his timing, his way. And we need to just praise him and thank him and seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. Because he loves each and every one too. He loves us and wants us to grow more and more in him. And then he wants others to know. And haven't you gone to the Word and go, whoa, there's a new insight. And it's deep. And he will continue to teach us and help us to all grow. But we have to be willing to be that vessel that is surrendered to him and have the eyes to him and our ears to him and allow the Holy Spirit to change things up. Amen. But this is how we can get this and reach these people. So another part is the Bible translation. This is how they can get this word out. And in 1500, look at how it started jumping. We have Wycliffe right near us, or Wycliffe, as the insiders say. the Bible translators. And it's so neat to see that. But they are part of this, getting the gospel out in different languages. The New Testament, as the next point shows, has been translated into the mother tongue of over 87% of the world's population. However, the remaining approximately 13% will require over 2,000 new translations. The next slide shows that the gospel to the ends of the earth. What is the most viewed film in history? And what film has been translated into the most languages in history? The Jesus film, right. And this shows the Jesus film in Believers, 1990. It shows small amount, starts rising, 1995, 2,000, 3,000, 600, 2010, 6,500 different groups. Isn't that awesome? 6,500. There have been approximately 6.5 billion cumulative viewings or hearings to the Jesus film. It is available online in over 1,200 languages, covering over 95% of the world's population. Isn't that cool? I mean, God gave that vision to somebody. And then God gave the provision to be able to fulfill his assignment. Is that cool? And helping to reach. I mean, he's creative. I mean, we've got to be out allowing that creator to show us, to allow those divine appointments, to allow those divine interruptions. The gospel, in slide number 100, the gospel of the ends of the earth, Christian radio broadcasting. It is estimated that Christian radio broadcasts cover at least 91% of the world's populations. Do you remember Sister Amy? She was one of the first women to have a Christian radio station around. And so and then she was getting her license in when she heard about the television, but she passed on before. I mean, anything creative to get it out, she was getting it out. She was using the creative ways to reach the unlost and to help them to know and grow in the Lord. The gospel to the ends of the earth. Yep. The next slide shows a status summary, a church for every people group. Well, the global total, remember, is 16,800. The unreached and least reached is 7,300. The next one shows estimates of the gospel to the ends of the earth. True believers, 10%. Nominal adherence, 20%. Heard no response, 40%. And 30% virtually no exposure. Dramatic recent progress, though, has taken. Is Christianity stagnant, declining, or growing? Well, look at this next slide. This next slide shows, slide 103, and it shows a graph. And it shows that the annual growth rate. And it shows that Buddhism, 1.3%, all Christians, 1.2%, Hinduism, 1.2%, Islam, 1.9%, Evangelicals, 2.6%. Evangelical Christianity is growing faster than Islam and two times faster than Buddhism and Hinduism. Praise God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that delicious? Thank you. Woo! I mean, is our God good or what? Our God is awesome. So we hear all this other stuff, but remember, our God is more powerful, and he cares for each and every one that he created, no matter how he created them. And it's like so awesome. He has a plan and a purpose that something that others meant for bad, God can turn around for good and for his glory. And it's like so awesome to see this. The next slide shows the dramatic recent progress, shows an explosion of the non-Western church. A point, true Christianity has grown by more than 300 million believers in the past 10 years. Another point, about 10 million of these new Christians are from North America and Europe. Another point, the rest, 290 million, are from developing countries like Nigeria, Brazil, India, and China. The global south, yeah, the new faces of evangelical Christianity. So we have our little Filipino that is not here because she had to work. But look at this next slide shows of the Philippines. the dramatic recent progress in the Philippines. 1975, 3,000 churches. 2005, 55,000 churches. 2010, expect to send over 10,000 cross-cultural workers into the 1040 window in the next 15 years as tent-making missionaries. The next slide shows of the dramatic recent progress of China. The first point, 1948, less than 1 million believers. Look at this. 2013 conservative estimates suggest over 90 million believers. Most of all of that growth has been in the last 35 years. Over 12,000 new Chinese believers every day. But this great need is for pastoral training. Do you remember when we saw for the life journaling Pastor Wayne Cadero, and he was talking about when he had gone to China and he had brought some Bibles? And then he saw this one pastor, she was saying from 1 Peter, all of it by word. And so she handed her Bible because he only had so many that he could get in to where they secretly met, and he had to do a few days' drive. And he goes, how did you know it? Because they were sliding slips when she was in prison, and she was memorizing as quick, and then they'd take it before she'd get it, so then they'd do it, and she memorized the scriptures. I remember hearing of another pastor and in another country, and I shared this, where he was trying to be executed because kept sharing the gospel, kept telling him, no. And then this area, they had to redirect all the power to execute him in an electric chair. And the power went out. So then they go put him back in a cell. The next night, they try again, and the power went out. So they were really mad, and they said, well, you've just got to stop telling those people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and stop preaching this gospel. And so then he went, and there were people that knew about this, and so they were praying, and people around the country had come to pray. And so he was released finally. He said, okay, we're just going to get rid of you, because they were, having problems. And so they go, and they said, hey, we've got some Bibles for you. And he goes, oh, no, because if I'm caught with a Bible, he said, then I'm for sure executed right there on the spot. And he goes, but the church that I preach at, we had a Bible once. We all tore it apart page by page, and each one memorized the page, and then they got rid of that page. So the Holy Spirit in the service will guide and direct me to what chapter we're supposed to read, and so that person will stand up. And then the Holy Spirit will just preach and teach through me. I'm his surrendered vessel, his instrument. I'm telling you, that can happen here. Amen. What did we see? What happened in Germany? And we need to rise up and be that strong Christian, because Christianity is being attacked here in America. Yeah. And more persecution is happening. Remember, we heard not too long ago a pastor, because he was having Bible study in a church in the Phoenix area, was in prison for 3 months. So we're seeing more and more of that, and that can happen here, but we need to not lay these Bibles aside and instead devour them. Remember when we had the reverends that Living Logos, and they were memorizing the scriptures and saying it? He would go in the Bible character. She was just in regular clothes, but they showed the Bible being preached. But we also need to remember, be willing to be what God wants us to do, and let aside our preferences. J. Hudson Taylor, way back in those days in China, and he was led by the Lord to have him be the provision. So God graciously let him no longer be affiliated with the mission group that he finally went to China when God had a passion for China. But he went to the deep parts, not the regular where all the missionaries were. He went into the deep parts. Boy, did he get flack from some of those Christians. And then he felt like the Lord was saying, dress like them, dyed his hair, cut his hair bald to look like a teacher, because that's what he was, teaching the word of God. And they had different clothing for different, parts of what your roles were. And so he dressed like that, got a lot of flack from other missionaries and Christians. But he was being obedient to the Holy Spirit, responding with love, lost children, lost a lot of things, being attacked, the civil war that was going on. But he was reaching souls for Christ. And he was being obedient. And that's where I'm saying we need to let go of our preferences and allow the Holy Spirit to change things up, because there are people that need Jesus. And that means changing your schedules up too. That's right. Amen. Developing, the next slide shows developing world mission initiatives. Estimated missionaries sent by various countries over the next 15 to 20 years. So this see this red box? Well, it shows the first area. Latin Americans, 21,000 missionaries are sent out. They're planning on. These are their goals over the next 15 to 20 years. Nigerians, 15,000 missionaries. And then we've got the Filipinos, 10,000 missionaries. The Chinese, 50,000 missionaries. The Koreans, 30,000 missionaries. The fullness of the Gentiles brought in and the grafting back in of the natural branches beginning. Is this? Because have you read Romans 11? It is awesome. I was looking up online and at the Bible Gateway, and the Good News, I like the way the Good News translation had the subtitles for verses 1 through 12 for Romans 11, God's mercy on Israel. Verses 13 through 24, the salvation of the Gentiles. Verses 25 through 32, God's mercy on all. And verses 33 through 36, praise to God. And then we've got the challenges going on. Why hasn't the Great Commission been completed? Why? And I'll tell you why once I turn the page. There's the spiritual challenge. Satan, we know, does not give up ground without a battle. Why do you think we've been suffering? We've gone through challenges because he knows the plans and purposes for Pathway of Hope in each one of our lives. We are part of the body of Christ. More Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. Wow. And you're hearing more and more. You're hearing of what's going on in Nigeria and Africa. Let alone the other countries that we know of, Korea, China. One of the challenges of the unfinished task is the population challenge. 5.5 billion lost people in the world. And of the viewing 5 per second, it would take 35 years to see everyone. Can you believe it? Crazy, huh? The challenges of the unfinished task is the people group challenge. Well, remaining people groups are the most difficult to penetrate. The geographic barriers, remote, harsh climate, difficult access, and nomadic. Then you got another, the linguistic barriers, illiteracy, no scripture in their language, unwritten language, terminology, confusion. Then you got the cultural barriers, persecution, close to change, Christianity views as a foreign religion. And then another challenge of the unfinished task is the political and national challenge. We have countries with the highest percentage of unreached tend to be the most close to Christianity. For example, North Korea. There is the Open Door ranks North Korea number one in Christian persecution. Then we have the government severely represses all religious activity, and there is systematic oppression, imprisonment, and execution of Christians. Physical and spiritual starvation of 24 million people. We saw an online YouTube of a guy videotaping of a child just starving to death. And then once the soldier saw it, the gun was pointing at the guy that was taking the video. But creatively, we've also seen how God said, write scriptures on balloons. And then they pray on South Korea. And then when the wind is blowing, they go over. And some, that is reaching. God has his creative ways to reach the lost. Another challenge of the unfinished task, well, the resource challenge. This point, there is an imbalance in missionary distribution. There's this question, what percentage of missionaries work among unreached peoples? Answer, only about 1 in 10 missionaries work among unreached people. Imbalance in mission finances. And then another point, the question, for every $1 of Christian giving to all causes, how much goes to financing pioneer church planting among unreached peoples? Answer, a small fraction
of a penny. But we at Pathway, at the Foursquare, they are really encouraging once again. If you've heard the director of Foursquare Missions and Jim Scott on fire, he's like, everybody should, you know, just be a Christian and go out and save the lost. I mean, he is so perfect for the job that he has and the responsibilities. And he just pumps you up like, okay, all right, I'm ready. But they also, Foursquare has been emphasizing this, disciple of the nations, because it is so important to not only reach the unreached, but then to help them to grow in the Lord and to know their language and to get that into their language. So remember when our small church helped with that mobile unit in Pakistan after hundreds of houses and churches and Christian businesses were burned? And this mobile unit can print in their language tracts and the word so that they can reach those who need that gospel. On slide 114, as you look at this slide, that there might be worshipers. But I want to read to you something that I saw on this Joshua Project site. Why are we to complete the task? Not because it is our duty, though it is. Not because it will bring eternal life to many, though it will. Not because it will improve the living conditions of the poor, though it will. Not because it will improve stability in the world's institutions, though it will. Not because it will improve environmental stewardship, though it will. Not because we will be rewarded, though we will. We should disciple the nations because Jesus Christ is worthy to receive their honor, glory, and praise. Revelation 7:9, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and tribe and people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Oh Lord God, we love you and we thank you. And others need to know him and to receive him. So the big picture? Well, the next slide shows you that answer. I'm going to hand out some sheets. And I forgot to tell you guys on this. I'm sorry. And I'm going to read to you a few things while we hand them out. If you need pens or something, I have a bunch on the outside part of my file, one which is under the chair, Debbie, and it's on the outside pocket part. I brought a bunch of pens if you need a pen. You're going to need that pen later in a second. But if you want, while I'm reading this scripture, you can maybe take that little quiz if you want. I will show you the answers. And you can maybe look at that. But remember I told you I had already printed some scriptures. Isaiah 45:22, the Amplified. Turn and look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. But I had printed Jonah 3, chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. And I have it from the New King James Version, the NIV, and the Amplified, because you know how I like to mix things up on how I like it. And this is before I even knew. Remember what Pastor-to-be Evelyn shared last week on Thanks, Jonah. It was about Jonah. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed in God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth in penitent mourning from the greatest of them even to the least of them. God loves the sinner and wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Romans 11, I ask then,
Did God reject his own people? Certainly not. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he chose from the beginning. You know what the scripture says in the passage where Elijah pleads with God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. What answer did God give him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not worshipped the false god Baal. It is the same way now. There is a small number left of those whom God has chosen because of his grace. His choice is based on his grace, not on what they have done. For if God's choice was based on what people do, then his grace would not be real grace. What then? The people of Israel did not find what they were looking for. It was only the small group that God chose who found it. The rest grew deaf to God's call. As the scripture says, God made their minds and hearts dull. To this very day, they cannot see or hear. And David says, may they be caught and trapped at their feasts. May they fall. May they be punished. May their eyes be blinded so they cannot see, and make them bend under their troubles at all times. I ask then, when the Jews stumbled, did they fall to their ruin? By no means. Because they sinned, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous of them. The sin of the Jews brought rich blessings to the world, and their spiritual poverty brought rich blessings to the Gentiles. Then how much greater the blessings will be when the complete number of Jews is included? I am speaking now to you, Gentiles. As long as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I will take pride in my work. Perhaps I can make the people of my own race jealous and so be able to save some of them. For when they were rejected, all other people were changed from God's enemies into his friends. What will it be then when they are accepted? It will be life for the dead. If the first piece of bread is given to God, then the whole loaf is his also. And if the roots of a tree are offered to God, the branches are his also. Some of the branches of the cultivated olive tree have been broken off, and a branch of a wild olive tree has been joined to it. You Gentiles are like that wild olive tree, and now you share the strong spiritual life of the Jews. So then, you must not despise those who were broken off like branches. How can you be proud? You are just a branch. You don't support the roots. The roots support you. But you will say, yes, but the branches were broken off to make room for me. And that is true. They were broken off because they did not believe. Well, you remain in place because you do believe. But do not be proud of it. Instead, be afraid. God did not spare the Jews who are like natural branches. Do you think he will spare you? Here we see how kind and how severe God is. He is severe towards those who have fallen, but kind to you if you continue in his kindness. But if you do not, you too will be broken off. And if the Jews abandon their unbelief, they will be put back in the place where they were. For God is able to do that. You Gentiles are like the branch of a wild olive tree that is broken off and then, contrary to nature, is joined to a cultivated olive tree. The Jews are like this, a cultivated tree. And it will be much easier for God to join these broken off branches to their own tree again. There is a secret truth, my friends, which I want you to know, for it will keep you from thinking how wise you are. It is that the stubbornness of the people of Israel is not permanent, but will only last until the complete number of Gentiles comes to God. And this is how all Israel will be saved. As the scripture says, the Savior will come from Zion and remove all wickedness from the descendants of Jacob. I will make this covenant with them when I take away their sins. Because they reject the good news, the Jews are God's enemies for the sake of you Gentiles. But because of God's choice, they are his friends because of their ancestors. For God does not change his mind about whom he chooses and blesses. As for you Gentiles, you disobeyed God in the past, but now you have received God's mercy because the Jews were disobedient. In the same way, because of the mercy that you have received, the Jews now disobey God, in order that they also may now receive God's mercy. For God has made all people prisoners of disobedience, so that he might show mercy to them all. How great are God's riches! How deep are his wisdom and knowledge! Who can explain his decisions? Who can understand his ways? As the scripture says, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who is able to give him advice? Who has ever given him anything so that he had to pay it back? For all things were created by him, and all things exist through him and for him. To God be the glory forever. Amen. What does nations mean? In Matthew 28:19, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations. He wants to reach every ethnic people group. The answer is B. How many estimated ethnic people groups by country are in the world? 16,800, and he loves each and every one. This is why Jesus came, to die for each and every one. Approximately how many ethnic groups are considered unreached? Least reached, 7,300, but nothing is impossible with God. We are not to look at that and be down about it. We are to go forward and pursue and persevere and pray for those that are trying to reach them and us to reach the lost that we know. Which country has the most unreached, least reached ethnic people groups? India. And we have a church plant in India. Approximately what percent, and it's not in one of the big cities, it's in the remote areas. Approximately what percent of the world's population has virtually no exposure to the gospel? 30%, approximately. What percentage of the world's population has the New Testament in their native language? 82%. Praise God, but we need to reach 100%. What is the fastest growing major religion in the world? Evangelical Christianity. Do not listen to those reports that say otherwise. God cares for each and every soul, and he wants them to be saved. Evangelical Christianity has grown by more than 300 million believers in the past 10 years. 10 million from the West, North America, Europe, and 290 million from the developing world. Is this true? Yes, definitely. Which country expects to send out at least 50,000 missionaries in the next 15 years? China. Wow. Those who are being persecuted if they're found out about being a Christian. Praise God for the underground church. More Christians were martyred in the 20th century than the previous 19 centuries combined, and that is true. 3 out of 10 missionaries work among unreached people groups. Well, that is false, unfortunately. Out of every $1 of giving to all Christian caucuses, how much goes to the pioneer church planting among unreached peoples? Less than 1 cent. We need to pray and ask the Lord to lead us and guide us, because we need to reach those who are lost. As the Joshua Project, and this shows you the network. It has all different works. It has a bunch of stuff on the unreached peoples. It has prayer guides for you on different reached areas. But you remember that God gave us the word. Remember, he gave us Isaiah 62. But on October 13th, he told us, as of Zechariah 8:3, thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, a pathway of hope. Pathway of Hope shall be called the city of truth, or the place, the center of truth, the house of prayer, Healings and Salvation Center. This house of prayer, Healings and Salvation Center, is a mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. This is who we are. And it was confirmed in the word that Chris was given. Your worship and your hearts are open to me, and I see it. And have no fear, I am here, and I am working through you. And the small beginnings are so that I can nurture your hearts before I explode into your midst. A friend saw, that one that we were praying for, saw like a cord coming to here, and then all of a sudden a light just matching and exploding. There is a world to be reached. And I've told you, we were praying for my friend, and this picture on 120, it shows the friend, she has a Skype churches in Liberia. The man there is a bishop, a prophet in Liberia. And it was his first time to the United States. This was her, she had an affirmation service. And so she asked me to attend, and we were praying for her church. Because remember, her church went through some rough time, and she has a small church on the south side of Tucson. But then she Skypes at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sundays to churches for many in Liberia. But we need to not only lift her church up, Divinely Inspired Ministries, but we need to lift up these churches here and all the churches, so that they will have hearts that will listen to God and being willing to surrender and change things up if they need to, because there's way too many lost souls. And our church can't handle them all, even though we're going to have a bigger building. Amen. But even that bigger building, even the biggest building here on earth, cannot handle all that are saved. We are part of the body of Christ. So I told you, we are supposed to help others. If they won't come here, then you tell them of other churches, Bible preaching, Spirit-filled churches. We are part of the body of Christ, and we are to team together. That is why that has been my heart, to have these prayer and praise nights here in the community and trying to get these churches involved in it. Because we are part of the body of Christ. We need to reach the lost and help them to know and grow in the Lord. And this community and this city and beyond will change. As this slide shows, it'll explode. 122, it will explode, and we need to pray. We need to reach all these different areas, not only Catalina, but Oro Valley, Dove Mountain, Marana. We need to hit Saddlebrook and San Manuel and Florence and all parts of Tucson, because if the truth is being here and the hot bread of heaven and the Holy Spirit is moving, people will drive. We used to drive an hour and a half in traffic, 2 hours sometimes, and it was a long ways, 45 minutes. For years we commuted that way because we were obedient to God, of where God led us. But then if they can't do that, then you tell them of a church where they can go. The Aramaic Bible, in plain English, James 2:13 says, the judgment is without mercy against him who does not practice mercy. But with mercy, you have dominion over judgment. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, as James 3:17 says, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. For blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Pastor Debbie Evelyn shared, we are the church of second chances. That was Pastors Johnny and Mindy's heart. And that is passed down, as we saw Pastor Doug then. And it was that we had the word believe, and then harvest, and then to reach those. And now we have to receive, so we can continue this momentum of what God's doing. So I want them to pass these out, and I want you now, as we have taken the elements, we're going to take the elements for those that you know that need Jesus. Those who are lost. Those who have maybe turned a deaf ear to what maybe you share, but pray then somebody else to bring in the word to them, that God will reach them. And if God has put on your heart to pray for a country or a city or an area in this world, then put that down too. We need to reach the lost, and there is power in prayer. Pray for missionaries. Pray for more missionaries and missionaries that you do know. Pray for Pastor Arvind in India and the two different village areas that he's doing. Pray for Pastor Steve and Beth Lavoie in Taiwan. They've got major culture issues that they're dealing with, that it is hard to get people to really know and grow in the Lord. And there's many others. We have the prayer thing of the different missionaries and the chaplains that Foursquare knows about, but there's others like this, the Joshua Project. You can have a prayer. There's many prayer guides out there for you and resources. But as this song that I was singing earlier, it was by Graham Kendrick. And in this praise that I found on YouTube, while you're writing this down, I'm going to say some of the things that were on this praise worship song right after he sang that song. Now, Lord, send your Holy Spirit. Drench this land with your awesome presence. Send your Holy Spirit more powerfully. Let grace and mercy flood this land. Let mercy triumph over judgment. Let mercy triumph over all judgments. Lord, we need you, and many need you. Philippians chapter 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Robert E. Lee, the general Robert E. Lee, commander of the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia, wrote, knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and supreme call for Christians today, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, at noonday, at sundown, at midnight, all through the day. Let us all pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves that we may not lose the word concern for those who have never known Jesus Christ and his redeeming love. For moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders, we need to pray. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. And as we pray and we bring this up, we will see others to pray. I'm reading this book that I found at a thrift store, and it was free. And it was of this lady, a Muslim lady in a family that was very high up. Father taught and imams and mullahs. And she was seeking out in her prayer time, Ramadan, seeking out. On one of the occasions, she went to the university library, and all of a sudden there was a Bible there. Brought it home, and she was surprised. Her loving dad, gracious, kind, giving father, received it bad. She was like, it was in her language. Totally in her language. She had seen a language in English and French. They were learning several languages. She'd never seen a language in hers. She was saying, Lord, why, Allah, God, why, when I pray to you, why do I have to pray in Arabic? Why can't I pray to you in my own language? And she was questioning all the time. Well, the Lord saw that heart seeking. And there are many Muslims out there that in this time of prayer, they are awesomely dedicated. Can you imagine what we will move if we Christians took on that dedication, but with a heart that was pure seeking God at morning, at noon, at night, praying for the lost souls, praying for one another and encouraging one another? Do you think of what power we would have in this community? And we need to apply that. And God heard her heart seeking. And then eventually she became a Christian because they wouldn't take that Bible back at the university. They said, it isn't ours. Eventually she had to flee the country. And God provided her with a Christian husband in Iran before they fled together. See, our God can reach these names that we're writing down, because we're going to go over here and we're going to show the blood, and we're going to break the bread and pour the blood over those index cards and go ahead and put them, either fold them or put them upside down. And then I want you to do that, because Jesus died for every single name and person that you've written down. He cares for them passionately. And on the cross, he did that. He did that for us, and are we not thankful? Are we not thankful for our salvation? That eternity is in heaven. That is our home. And Pathway of Hope will lead them to that pathway of hope, which is Jesus Christ, and all the glory, honor, and praise and worship will be unto him. And this is what we care for in these names that we're writing down. Jesus' body was broken for them. And Jesus' blood was shed for them, just as it was for us.
So I don't know about you, but we need to be thankful each and every day, rejoicing in our salvation and caring for those, other Christians that are struggling and helping them to come on and mourning with them when we need to mourn and grieving with them and encouraging them just continue on and persevere for his purposes and for his glory. Because whatever we go through here is nothing compared to the glory we will there have there. And he will use it together for good. And it'll be for his glory. So we need to do that right now. And Pastor Janet will pray softly while we do that. Pastor Janet, can you do yours first, please? And I am sorry, I know I went over again. If you need to go, you can go, but I still want to do the benediction for you.
We are all vessels of mercy that was molded and shaped by God's hand. We are all vessels of mercy to be used as he commands. Of mercy that was molded and shaped by God's hand. We are all vessels of mercy to be used as he commands.
And you know I like to kneel as the Apostle Paul did. Lord, I pray and claim and proclaim and declare your precious holy word over each one here and anybody who listens to this message. Lord, we thank you and praise you for Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. May you, Lord God, bless each and every one of us. May you, Lord God, watch over each and every one of us. May you, Lord God, guard each and every one of us. And may you keep each and every one of us. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to each and every one. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each one and give each one your peace. For your peace comes through Jesus Christ. The peace that Jesus gives is not as the world gives. Lord, we thank you and praise you that that peace that Jesus Christ, as our own personal Lord and Savior, gives, it will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus. We thank you and praise you. We now go out into the mission field, and we thank you and praise you, for we are your missionaries. May you just be in control of each and every divine appointment, and may you stir our hearts to lift up in prayer those who you need us to pray for. We thank you and praise you for the power of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.